All right. Good. I'd like for you to make your way to two passages of Scripture this morning. We're going to begin in Revelation 12, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 18. But Revelation 12 first, if you would make your way over there. Revelation chapter 12. A few weeks ago, I taught a couple of messages I called In an Evil Time, and citing passages, 2 Timothy chapter 3, that this know also in the latter days, the last days, perilous times will come when men and women, of course, would be lovers of their own selves, covetous boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. These are those times. And they would be people without normal love, truce breakers, people you can't trust, people who are traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. The Bible says also one of the other texts I used in those few messages was Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, that says we're to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, and that we're to redeem the time because the days are evil, or as one version translates it, these are evil times. And these certainly are evil times. If you are a Christian, you are well aware of the fact that these are very evil times. And continuing along those lines today, I would like for us to look in Revelation 12, since you're probably already there. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Now, the whole picture here, Revelation's full of imagery, symbolism, powerful symbols. But this is a very, very graphic picture right here. It begins right here. There's the woman, moon under her feet, clothed with the sun, 12 stars in a crown on her head. Verse 2, she being with child, so she's expecting, cried, travailing in birth. She's in the throes of giving birth. This is the picture that we're given here. She's about to give birth and pain to be delivered. And verse 3 says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And look, behold, a great red dragon." Great, megas. It's where we, you know, mega. Huge, gigantic. A gigantic red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and unto his throne. Powerful picture that has caused 1,000 different views and interpretations and books and articles. And one wonder was the woman. Another wonder was the great dragon dragging the stars of heaven, a third of the stars of heaven. Now we know who the dragon is, because the Bible tells us in verse 9, you're there in Revelation 12, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The stars that he drug with his tail, one third of the stars, we believed to indicate a third of the angels of heaven falling with the dragon. So we know who the dragon is. The question has always been, who is the woman and who is the man-child? And the woman, it just depends on who you ask. Who is symbolized by this woman? Well, the entire Roman Catholic side of the world will say it's the Virgin Mary. And then most, I would think most Christians, I'm talking about conservative Christians now. You got to use the word Christians. You almost have to qualify what you're saying. Let's talk about Bible-believing Christians. There's a lot of people who call themselves Christians. They have no idea what a Christian is. But those who are conservative Bible believers mostly believe the woman represents Israel. 12 stars on her head, you know, on her crown, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. But then you've got multitudes, multitudes, multitudes who also believe that the woman could represent the church. Because the 12 stars could represent the 12 apostles. Then you've got others who say, well, you know, imagery like this can have multiple interpretations and multiple applications. It can refer to all of the above. And then, well, what about the man-child? Well, the man-child is the apostles, the man-child is the church, the man-child is Jesus, the man-child is a group within the church, a church within the church. There's a lot of different views, none of which we're going to discuss today. Instead, I would like for us to consider this picture, this very graphic picture of a gigantic dragon. The Bible says a red dragon. The Greek is a fiery red dragon, gigantic, that is before the woman who is in the throes of childbirth. The Bible says, ready to devour her child. Now, I want to tell you today what I want us to see this a picture of. It's a picture of Satan's desire to devour your children. Satan's desire to devour your sons, your daughters, your little ones. And you notice in the imagery, in the picture that's presented right here, this dragon was standing in place, ready to devour, even before the child was born. Like we said last week, the devil wants to destroy your children even in the womb. He wants to destroy America's children, even while they're in the womb. I mean, before they're born, the most dangerous place on earth, the womb, no place more dangerous. Like we brought out last week, because abortion is killing perhaps as many as 1 million American babies a year, at a minimum 600,000 plus, but perhaps as many as 1 million, perhaps more than that, because not everybody records the numbers of abortions that they're doing. I want us to see from this picture today Satan's warfare against our children, in general, all across America. And that warfare begins from a time even before they were born. I do believe that the devil has a multi-pronged method of attack, and we're going to consider some of those things today. Let me just cite a verse in the book of Chronicles. You don't have to turn here, but I want you to just consider this. Our country is flooded with sensuality, with nudity, with pornography, and it is eating the core and the hearts of multitudes. Pornography is one of the devil's great traps. And not only does it trap men, it traps women as well. And it's one of the tools, the powerful tools in the devil's toolbox to accomplish his purposes, which is to devour families, destroy homes, destroy marriages. And sex right now, people are so confused about sex and sexuality and gender and everything else. It's just our country is in chaos and our world is following suit. There was a king called Ahaz many years ago who was king in Jerusalem. And Ahaz, the Bible said, did evil in the sight of the Lord. I mean, he pointed the people to all the Ashtaroths, which was goddesses, and they were worshipped with temple prostitution. But Ahaz was a very wicked king. He led the nation astray. As a result, God punished Judah. They were invaded by Syria, and thousands were killed, and thousands of soldiers were killed. Thousands were taken off captive. They were invaded by the northern kingdom of Israel. So the southern kingdom's invaded by the northern kingdom. Thousands of soldiers, 120,000 were killed, the Bible said. So then you've got all these others taken off captive. And then they were invaded by the Edomites. They were invaded by the Philistines. They were invaded by the Assyrians. I mean, they were losing cities. They were losing country. They were losing land. They were losing people. Everything was a mess. They were in bad, bad, bad shape. And I want to read one verse to you from 2 Chronicles 28. 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 19. I'm going to read it to you in the New King James Version. I want you to listen to this. 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 19. For the Lord brought Judah low. Now remember, Judah's the southern kingdom. He brought it low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. He encouraged moral decline. And it brought about the ruin of the nation. We have had several leaders in our own country that have encouraged moral decline. In fact, the first day that the current president was in office, the first day, he signed an order, a transgender rights order, for all sports and bathrooms in schools had to be open. Girls' bathrooms in schools had to be open to boys if a boy wanted to use it. Biological boy could use a girl's bathroom. Biological boy could go into the girl's showers. Very first thing he did on the first day of office. And he just followed the agenda of a very left-wing anti-God, anti-Christian organization, the LGBTQ LMNOP organization, that has done everything in its power to undermine Christian values and the family in America. It's a wicked organization. The people involved are antichrists. Amen. Don't doubt it for a second. So we see the picture, Satan out to devour the children. I believe he's out to devour the children of America and the children of the world, and the devil wants your children. If you're a parent raising young children, then this applies to you in particular, but it applies to all of us because most of us have children. Whether they're young or older, we have to pray and stand in the gap and believe God for them, because the devil wants to devour them, and he is being very, very successful at what he's doing. Now, did you turn also to Matthew 18? All right, then let's go there. And I'd like for us to look at just a couple of passages to see God's heart for the children. I want us to notice this, that Christ has a special place for the children. In Matthew 18, and beginning in verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, Mark's account, it says this is James and John who want to know if they can sit on the right hand of the Lord and the left hand in the kingdom. Somebody's always jockeying for a position of power or prestige or influence. It's just the way of the world, you know. Can we have this position, this title, this? We want this recognition. They said, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus called a little child unto him, verse 2. A little child, and set him in the midst of them. And verse 3, he said, verily I say unto you, verily, truly, I say unto you, except you be converted. Converted really means to turn. To turn around, unless you turn yourselves around, unless you be converted and become as little children, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, not only are you not going to have a position of prestige and authority in the kingdom, you're not even going to make it.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
You want to be a big shot in the kingdom? Unless you turn around and have a whole different mind and thought about what it takes, you're not even going to make it into the kingdom.
Amen.
No big shots there.
Amen.
Unless you turn yourselves around and become as little children. What are the little children? Innocent,
right.
Unassuming. Not grasping for power or positions of authority,
right.
Loving, forgiving, get along with everybody.
Amen.
You have to teach them not to like people. They'll get along with every child of every color, skin,
right. Yep.
Unless you teach them otherwise.
True.
But unless you turn around and become as a small child, you won't get in to the kingdom of heaven. He says in verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. See, humility just goes with innocence. It just goes right along with it. They don't think they're a big shot unless they're ruined by television and told they can be the boss of the home. Whoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is great in the kingdom of heaven. That's who's great in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. He says, whosoever shall receive one of these little children in my name. Receive just means it to take them up and to give them access. Whosoever shall receive one in my name, to bear with, to welcome, to receive in a kindly way. The Lord says, you receive a child, you receive me. You receive my disciples, you receive me. You reject my disciples, you reject me. He's been making a point. But he changes tracks in verse 6. And he speaks of the care that he has for the little ones and that we must also have. To love and to protect the youngest and the smallest among us. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Whosoever shall offend, cause them to stumble, to injure, to harm in any way, manner, shape, or form. Whoever offends one of these little ones, you don't want to cause them to sin. You don't want to cause them to harm. You don't want to cause them to blaspheme. You don't want to cause them to be turned against the Lord in any way, manner, shape, or form. any of these little ones, the Greek word, the little ones, micro. It's where we get words like microscopic. You know, you can see little bitty things through a microscope. Well, the little ones, he's talking about the little ones right here. And if they do offend these little ones, they would have been better off with a millstone hung around their neck. You know, the millstone was a giant stone used to grind the grain and reduce it to get rid of all the chaff and all of that on it. So reduced it to its where you could make bread and everything else out of it. So it crushed it. Big, heavy stone. The word for millstone here is actually the millstone of an ass, a donkey, because there were two kinds of millstones. There was the small ones that men used, like if they were a slave or whatever, they had to grind out with that millstone. But then there was a huge millstone that was pulled by a donkey, and they called it the millstone of an ass, which is exactly what is said right here. The big giant millstone hung around your neck, and you'd be cast into the sea. That wasn't the way the Jews executed people, but the Syrians did, the Greeks did, the Romans did. That was just one of their many forms of execution. Put that big old millstone around them, and then they take them out into the deep sea and drop them over. You're not coming up. But this is what the Lord said. You would be better off dying that kind of death than have to deal with me for causing these little ones to be offended. You want to remember that our God is a consuming fire, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You do not want to cause any child to sin, to stumble, or to be turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God, have mercy on your soul if you are guilty of harming any of these little ones. They are special in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
Very special in the eyes of the Lord. I want to also, if you would, have you look with me over to, well, verse 10. We're in Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not, don't look with scorn, on one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
This phrase has to do with the fact that the angels, and apparently there are angels that look after these children, and that those angels have immediate access to the Father in heaven at any moment, at any time. If you mess with these children, you harm them spiritually, physically, in any way, God have mercy on your soul. There's an old song we used to sing in Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children. It's true, you know.
Amen.
Y'all remember that Sunday school song? Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. It's true, you know. It's very true. And God help those. God have mercy on those who harm these children. Since you're right here, look with me to the next chapter, Matthew chapter 19. I want to read a verse or two over here as well. Matthew 19, you know, the first part of this chapter, the Lord deals with marriage. Verses 1 through 12. He deals specifically with the sanctity of marriage, verse 4, 5, and 6, and what constitutes a marriage. Haven't you read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Male and female? Only two genders? You're one or the other? XX or XY chromosomes? There's no L, M, N, O, P chromosomes in there? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. That's what constitutes a marriage. Those two will be one flesh. Wherefore, they're no more two, but one flesh. And then he tells us the sanctity of marriage, God's original design, one man, one woman, and permanence. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now we know what happened. Sin happened. Sin came into the world, the original design, one man, one woman, marriage would be permanent, they would raise children, they would live together, they would raise their children to fear God.
Amen.
Sin entered the picture, selfishness destroyed the original design, and marriage today has fallen on hard times. As we've said before, and as you know yourselves, many, many people don't even bother to get married anymore. Used to be the original design, sexual intimacy was reserved for those who were married. Otherwise, it's considered fornication, and the Bible says, don't be deceived. Fornicators will have their part in the lake of fire. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Bible is very clear on these things. So, but today, marriage has fallen on hard times. People just live with boyfriends, live with girlfriends, sleep with one, sleep with another, don't even know their names. I mean, sex has become so casual. This is what's happened. It's no coincidence, however, that following these verses dealing with marriage and its permanence and so forth, that we come to verse 13 and children and child care. Then there were brought unto him, I'm in verse 13, Matthew 19, 13, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. You know, if I had kids and I was living then, I'd want the Lord to lay his hands on my kids for sure. And lay them on me too. But Lord, lay your hands on my child. You know, we can still pray for the Lord to lay his hands because he's among us. They were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And his disciples rebuked them. He rebukes these parents. Leave the Lord alone. Get away from him. Quit bothering the Lord. But Jesus said, suffer, allow, permit little children, and notice these words, and forbid them not to come unto me. Forbid them not. Do not hinder them from coming to me. Do not hinder them from coming to me. Do not hinder them from coming to me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed since. Williams translates this, let the little children alone and stop preventing them from coming to me. Stop preventing them. Anyone who does anything to hinder a child, to discourage a child, to in any way obstruct a child from coming to Christ, immediately incurs the divine displeasure. I refer you back to chapter 18 and verse 6. Better off executed by men than to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, having read these passages, we see God's special love and care for the children. Now, this puts, I think this applies directly to parents who are responsible to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, in the nurture of the Lord, in the care of the Lord. God has given you a gift. He's given you precious children that the Bible says are the heritage of the Lord. So you want to nurture them, cherish them, love them, care for them, guide them. Raise them up in the Word of God, the things of God, the Church of God. Preserve them as best you can from the world and its this present evil world. Because remember this picture of Satan ready to devour the children. Never forget that picture. because I believe we can apply it to the devil's desire to devour your children. And he's got many, many tactics that he employs to do that very thing. And parents, I believe with all of my heart that God will hold us accountable. He has put these children into our trust. He has known these children from eternity. Before they were born, before they were formed in the womb, the Lord knew them. And it was his plan that you would raise and nurture and love and teach and instruct, and that you would be the example that you should be as a parent. Because remember, kids don't learn just by what you say, but by what you do. So God's going to hold us accountable. But this command of Jesus, do not forbid, do not obstruct the little ones from coming unto me. Let me tell you, this is going to apply to our schools, every school teacher, every administrator, every school board member, everybody who picks school curriculum, everybody who writes school curriculum, from pre-K through kindergarten, through grade school, middle school, high school, and all the way into the educators at the university and graduate school, God will judge them harshly. He will judge them harshly because they put obstructions and hindrances between the children and Christ. They have done everything in their power to forbid them from coming to Christ. You can teach the children in school about sex and sexuality and transgender and the most obscene and bizarre doctrines on earth, but you can't teach them in school about God. You can teach them, you can indoctrinate them in atheism, but you can't indoctrinate them. You can't even mention creation. You want a teacher to lose their job? God will judge harshly those in these professions who lead any of these little ones astray. Now, there are good and godly school teachers, and praise God for them. There are good and godly instructors, and we praise God for them. I want you to know, as you probably do, that the school system is inherently corrupt, atheistic, anti-Christian, and does everything in its power to hinder your children from coming to Christ or from knowing Christ.
That's right.
Amen. I do believe that the school systems, the public systems in particular, are more interested today in indoctrination than in education.
Yeah.
Indoctrination into Marxist ideology, atheism, intolerance of anyone who has a different opinion.
Yeah.
Leftist ideology, wickedness and immorality that's presented to them under the so-called guise of sex education. It's all turned into the sexualization of children. It's turned into dulling children's consciousnesses. To the wickedness of immorality. They're taught in school to explore their sexuality. They're taught things in school that's appalling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I have something here that Ken Ham, y'all know who Ken Ham is? He posted something online from a headline that came from Washington State. This was just published on July the 5th. This is what he posted. Consider this. The Washington State School Board director to teach sexual pleasure class to 9-year-olds at a sex shop. The classes will be held at a local sex shop called Wink Wink. So the article reads, a Washington State School Board director who owns a sex shop The school board director owns a sex shop. Wow. Is making headlines after announcing she will teach sex education classes for children as young as 9 on topics such as sexual anatomy for pleasure and safer sex practices for all kinds of sexual activities. Now, this is for 9-year-olds. These aren't educators. These are predators. They are no longer educators. They have become sexual predators. And how they get on the school board, director of the school board, and they're allowing them to teach children. I hope, it would be my hope, that when parents learned of this, that there would have been a mighty uproar and protest that would have shut this down. But I don't know what the outcome was. This is 9-year-olds. For children as young as 9 years old. Children today are facing obstacles to faith and to wholesomeness that you and I can't even imagine. We didn't have to face these things in our day. You know, when I was in school, if there was pornography, it was because somebody got their big brother's magazine, or maybe their daddy's magazine, and snuck it into school. And if you were caught with that, you would be in a world of trouble. But today, the access to the filthiest pornography is available to every human being in the United States at the click of a button. They can view the wickedest stuff on earth, just click a button. What do you think that does to children? To children who are exposed to that. They are seeing things they should not be seeing. They are learning things they should not be learning. They're children. They're innocent. This is stealing their innocence. I just read something yesterday. Michael Brown said that Pornhub, I didn't even know such a thing existed, but I'm glad I didn't know. Pornhub is the world's largest pornographic website. It gets over 3 billion visits a month. Over 3 billion visits a month. It's the 10th most popular visited website in the entire world. Wow. The 10th in the world. These statistics, 64% of young people ages 13 to 24 actively seek out pornography weekly or more often. Wow. Porn sites received more website traffic in 2020 than Twitter, Instagram, Zoom, Netflix, Pinterest, and LinkedIn combined. Wow. And sadly, child pornography is one of the fastest growing online businesses on earth. Child pornography. Even though it's illegal, but they can't stop it. It spreads like a California wildfire. It's at this point, you can't put it back. It's spreading like wildfire. Pornography is a problem in America. It is a major, major problem. And men, the devil wants to victimize us. But I want you to know, I believe the devil's great goal is to saturate children's minds and hearts with these images and destroy them from their childhood. Pollute them from their childhood. All of this, I believe, has a major influence on other things we're witnessing today, just not only child sexualization, pornography, child pornography, but sex trafficking, kidnapping, prostitution, children sex slaves. Yes, that happens even here in the United States of America. Horrible, horrible things are happening. The devil wants the children. Of course, he wants you too. But the devil, that great red dragon, wants to devour your children. Amen. This is one of the tools in his tool bags. Then they have to deal with drugs.
Yeah.
The temptation to drugs so widespread everywhere. And you and I both know about the overdoses that we're reading about all the time because of drugs. One pill can kill. One pill can kill. The Center for Disease Control said that 100,000 drug overdoses, that's deaths, in the United States in 2021. Between April of 2020 and April of 2021, over 100,000 deaths. That's an increase in 1 year of 28%. These numbers are skyrocketing. Drugs are so widespread. Peer pressure. Kids are dealing with peer pressure. You know, now marijuana is legal all over the country, and police are taught, even in states where marijuana is not legal, the police are taught not to arrest people. Don't arrest. We're not prosecuting them. Don't arrest them. So kids are getting introduced to it. It must be harmless. It must be fine. It's legal. Everybody's doing it. They see mom and dad doing it. What do you think they're going to learn? What do you think they're going to do? But these opioid deaths, cocaine deaths, all these other synthetic opioids, prescription pain medication, it's decimating the population of the young. And this doesn't even take into account the millions and millions of injuries, hospitalizations from those who survived their overdoses, millions of hospitalizations. So the kids are not only having to deal with this gender confusion, sexualization, pornography, they're dealing with drugs, their friends are taking drugs, they're tempted to take drugs. Who are you going to find that's not taking drugs?
Right.
And then they're bombarded from the time they're young with the occult in our country. When the biggest blockbuster movies are all about occultism, glorifying everything from witchcraft to sorcery, to the biggest selling books that are peddled to children, all about the occult, witchcraft, sorcery, magic, occultism of every kind, glorifying things like vampirism. This has a spiritually dulling effect on children. It has a spiritually dulling effect on anybody. But you put all of that in your heart and your mind and your spirit. That's why the Bible forbids all of this stuff so vehemently, because you start letting that in and your mind and your heart starts closing towards the things of God. This is not innocent stuff. It's not innocent, even though it's painted very pretty. It's the octopus with all of its tentacles wanting to get a hold of you and drag you into its beak. Then there's the music that they have to deal with and listen to. So sexually charged, sexually explicit. MTV videos and all the other videos that they watch on TV with the nude women. They virtually nude. Jerking, twerking, and everything else. I mean, what message does this give to kids? That our girls, our little girls, are supposed to grow up and be like that? Because that's what's attractive. That's what attracts people. That's a good, wholesome thing. That's a goal in life. It bothers me to see little girls dressed up in the dance pageants when they sexualize that as well. Some of this music glorifies violence. I know it because they pull up next to me at the red light and I can hear what they're singing. And that's not even considering the video games that a lot of these young men are addicted to. Not just girls, but men, young boys in particular, these video games, graphic violence. It's a game to go out and shoot people, shoot policemen, shoot prostitutes, run over them with your cars. And look, the video game thing, it was before my time. I never really learned how to do a video game. It was a big thing when I was a kid to go to the bowling alley and play Pong. Y'all know what Pong was? Y'all remember Pong? Gee, a tennis paddle. bounces a little ball back and forth. Woo-hoo! Then later, when the kids were growing up, they had Pac-Man, you know. Well, the kids today have gone from Pong to the Bong and are enmeshed with drugs and drowning in filth. And these video games, you can't tell me that there's no correlation between violent video games and the violence we're seeing among the young people on the streets. You can't tell me there's no correlation, because they're influenced by what they put in their minds for 4, 6, 8 hours a day, because they don't go outside and play anymore. Nobody does that. I mean, the challenges that kids face today, the challenges are just so much greater. The temptations are so much greater. The world has become so much more evil. If a child survives the womb, if they survive the womb, now, that's really running the gauntlet to hope they'll survive the womb. Then how many are blessed to be raised in a loving family? How many who survive the womb are actually blessed to be raised in a loving family, a Christian family, where they will be cared for, they will be nurtured, they'll have food to eat, they'll have clothes to wear that are clean, they'll have a bed to sleep in, and so many don't have that blessing. Many are raised by a single parent. I mean, those things happen, but in many of those cases, that single parent is a drug addict, or an alcoholic, doesn't care. Kids fend for themselves. Some of them, like if it's a single woman, sometimes they have some kind of live-in boyfriend. All he does is lurch around and live off the woman, and then if she's got children there, he'll beat the kids. And if she's got a daughter, you've got a whole other set of problems there with things that go on. I mean, what many kids have to grow up and deal with, then they have to watch their parents having sex with men just coming in and out, or women coming in and out. What do you think that teaches them? Or they watch their parents doing drugs. They watch them not only smoking dope, taking pills, shooting up, doing whatever. And then these kids have to go to school, where the schools have gone crazy. They've gone crazy. From Marxism, critical race theory, LGBT radical agendas, gender insanity. I mean, whatever happened in the schools to reading and writing and arithmetic? I mean, just the basics. Those days seem to be gone. So many schools are a nightmare for kids. They become dangerous places. Disruptive kids, rebellious kids. Teachers have a nightmare just keeping order in the class. Kids are undisciplined. Kids are angry. But look at how they grow up. They grow up with filth and violence, and kids are more prone today to STDs. It's rampant among the young. Every day, 2,800 teenage girls in America get pregnant. They're getting pregnant at 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age. They're introduced to drinking and smoking and drugs and pornography and sex. I mean, this is a different world than the one most of us grew up in. It is an evil time, as the Bible says. These are evil times. And that's not even mentioning the epidemic we're having in America of suicides. Among the young. Second leading cause of death in children ages 10 to 24. 3,700 kids attempt suicide every day. About 50,000 a year succeed. Now imagine a child survives all of this gauntlet and they make it to college. Then they're introduced to some of the most godless human beings on earth. And if they haven't been destroyed already, then you leave it to college to do the job. Because Marxist ideology, LGBT radical agendas, and all of these things prevail. They make it a mission. Many of these professors make it a mission to destroy faith. Even when their class has nothing to do with faith or Christianity, many of these university professors make it their mission to try and destroy faith. Amen. Thomas Sowell, educator, writer, political consultant, he said this: too much of what is called education is little more than an expensive isolation from reality. Yeah. Because, you know, you go to college and they're going to teach you all about the pronouns that you might be called, because you're not necessarily a girl just because you were assigned that gender at your birth. You were assigned it? Well, who assigned it to me? God. God made you a girl, or God made you a boy. You are going to be that gender for the rest of your life. It cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. Whatever you are, if you're unhappy with it, that's the devil talking to you. Well, if you're not comfortable in your skin, I am gender incongruent. That's what now they say. I'm incongruent, which means my mind says I'm a boy, but my body says I'm a girl. So it's gender dysphoria. Basically, it's just confusion, the devil lying to you. And if you don't stop listening to the devil, he's going to destroy you. Because this is just another way the devil is destroying the young people. Some of it is just absolute insanity. Especially if you start reading some of these pronouns that they tell you that you now have to call people if they want to be called by their specific pronoun. And if you refuse to call them by that particular weirdo pronoun, you are guilty of oppression and violence. Violence. You are guilty of violence against the trans people. Or the. Some of it is so bizarre, you can't even believe it's true. Can I tell you something? Our kids are more isolated than ever before. They're more depressed than ever before. They are more medicated than ever before to deal with these things. They're more socially awkward than ever before because they rarely socialize, not really. Their whole life is basically artificial. It's spent behind a screen, either the phone or the computer or whatever it is. They are robbed of their childhood innocence by pornography. Their innocence is taken away by drugs, alcohol, God help them. Amen. Peer pressure. Right. I could carry on for quite a while because I came armed with a lot of different things to read, but I think you get the picture. Amen. Satan desires to devour the children. I did hear a study that was done, research study that was done. Tony Perkins had a show on. I actually listened to it yesterday on the radio talking about this very thing. And a lady on his show, a psychologist, was talking about a Senate hearing where a senator was questioning the head of Berkeley University, you know, Berkeley, most liberal university in California in the world, questioning the head of their legal department. The legal department was declaring that the Republicans and conservatives were waging a violent war on the trans people. They were guilty of violence against the trans people. And he said, the senator said, why? What have we done that's violent? Here was her question. Do you believe a man can have a baby? He said, no. She said, that's violence. That's violence against the trans people. That's what you're guilty of right there. Now, this is supposed to be an educated lady. This is the insanity. Because you see, if you're a woman and you say you're a man, then a man could have a baby. That great red dragon is out to devour the children. I wish Biden would be consistent when he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to follow the science. Well, that's what he said about COVID, but he's certainly not saying that about biology or the trans or the genders. No, that only applies where they want it to apply. But what can we do about it? All right, let me just wind up here. Well, let's recognize this for what it is. It's a spiritual battle. It's a demonic attack. The enemy is spiritual. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Let's realize that the devil's out to devour the children. He's out to devour you too, but he's out to devour the children. So what do we do? Well, let's resist the devil. Let's fight back in the name of Jesus. Let's rebuke the devil from off of our family, from off of our children. Let's employ the mighty weapon of prayer. The mighty weapon of prayer. Let's pray. Let's be parents. Let's be grandparents. Let's pray. Let us pray. Let us intercede. Let us petition heaven. Let us fast. Let us be relentless in petitioning heaven for our children. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's what the Lord said, Luke 18:1. And let us pray with such a concentrated fervor as if the salvation of our children depended on our prayer alone. As if the salvation, preservation, protection of our children depended on our prayer alone. That's how fervent, focused, and concentrated we must pray. We must believe the word of God. We must stand on the promise that we and our house would be saved. Whether our children are little or whether they are grown, we have to pray for them. We have to pray for them to be saved. Some are half being swallowed already. We got to pray them right out of the dragon's mouth. We're going to pray them out of the dragon's mouth. We're going to believe them out of the dragon's mouth. The devil can't have our children. In the name of Jesus. We must be bold. We must be bold in standing for truth. We must be bold in standing for what is right. We will not cower to the devil's pressure and all of this nonsense. We don't have to yield to that. They're going to put every pressure they can to make you yield, all this gender nonsense. The fact is, if you love someone, you know what you'll do? You'll tell them the truth. If you really love someone, you care about, you will tell them the truth. The truth is, son, you're never going to be a woman. I mean, the dress is cute and all, but you're never going to be a woman. You're never going to be a woman. Love them, of course, but tell them the truth. And can I tell you something else that we must do? We absolutely must do. Clean up our personal lives. Let us clean up our personal lives, because how can you lead or guide a child when you're setting a horrible example? How can you lead them into godliness when your mouth is full of profanity? How can you lead them into submission towards God and love for God when you can't even speak to your spouse right? How can you hope for your child to be pure when you are saturating your mind with pornography? We must repent. We must turn to the Lord for deliverance, for forgiveness, for cleansing, 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves. How? By repentance, by calling on the Lord to wash us clean. Wash your mind. The Bible says, guard your minds with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. What are you putting in there? You can't do that. God deliver us all from this filth that the Lord wants to use to destroy our children, but also to destroy. We've got to quit playing with evil. Bottom line, quit playing with evil. And if your children are young, monitor their activities. I mean, be a parent. Monitor what they're doing, who they're hanging out with, what they're on the internet doing or on their phones doing. And talk to your children. I mean, keep the communications open. Talk to them. Ask them questions. Let them ask you questions. Let them ask you anything. I mean, you want to be the number one resource for your child's questions, for their guidance. You want to be the number one resource. So talk to them. Love them. Always love them. Even when they're struggling, even when they're struggling with stuff that you don't want them to be struggling with, you love them. And you let them know the Lord loves them, and you tell them the truth.
Right.
And when your children are grown, and you can no longer monitor their activities, well, then you don't ever cease to pray for them. Don't ever cease to love them. Don't cut them off.
Amen.
Don't cut them off. Even when they're doing wrong, don't cut them off. They need you. You a lifeline. And they have to have that lifeline to be able to grab onto, because this world's trying to drown every one of them. You their lifeline. Don't cut them off. You love them. You keep letting them know you love them, that I'm here for you, and the Lord loves you. And in all things, Jesus is the answer. If they can't get through to you, then they get their information and guidance from their peers.
Amen.
Who get it from the devil.
That's right.
Father, I pray today.
Yep.
I pray, Lord, that I pray for our children.
Yes.
I pray, Lord, for the children in America, just in general, that we know are under spiritual attack. I pray, Lord, for their preservation. I pray for America's children from the womb all the way up, Lord, through childhood and adulthood. Lord, I pray your protection over them. I pray, Lord Jesus, for your preserving hand upon them. I pray, Lord, against this wicked system of education that has developed curriculum that is totally anti-God. Lord, I pray that you give parents wisdom in raising their children. Give them great wisdom, Lord. Help them, I pray, to stand up for their children, for righteousness and for goodness. And Lord, help parents to be bold, to take the necessary stands that they must to preserve their children and their innocence. And Lord, I pray for our young children. I pray for our adult children, that you protect and preserve and save. Lord, we pray them out of the dragon's mouth in the name of Jesus. We claim them for the kingdom, one and all. We claim them for the kingdom. And Lord, I pray for us. Help us, Lord, to be the men and women of God that you call us to be. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Forbid them not. Do not hinder the children from coming unto me. Do not place any stumbling block in their path. So we don't want our example to be a stumbling block. We don't want our vocabulary to be a stumbling block. Or anything in our life to be a stumbling block to children. And that means your adult children as well. Let's stand together.